I'll be sharing with us the topic I have called Day of Good News. Day of Good News. When is yours? Day of Good News. When is yours? And the text I'll be sharing this from will be 2 Kings chapter 7 from verses 3 through 10. 2 Kings 7, 3 to 10. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and of the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. And then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let's go and tell the king's household." Amen. So, I have three questions I would want you to take down right now. Three questions. Number one is, what is man's highest purpose on earth? What is man's highest purpose on earth? Number two, what's the greatest thing the Lord has done for you that you know? What is the greatest thing that the Lord has done for you, and you know it? Number three, what is the one thing that gives you joy above everything else? As we progress in this message this morning, I'll be expecting you to be providing your answers to those questions. At the close of this service, I might be asking for your papers. Amen. Day of good news. When is yours? If you take time to read the context of the story I just read, it really started from around chapter 6 of 2 Kings, from around verse 24. The Syrians had come against Israel. They had besieged, you know. Israel became locked in, and as a result, there was famine. The famine was so terrible that two women chose to eat their children. It was as bad as that. Two women agreed and they boiled one of their children and ate it on a day. Yes. Famine that was that bad. It was in the midst of that, just after that happened, that a prophet of God said, by this time tomorrow, there will be surplusity of food. It didn't make no connection. Somebody said, even if God were to open windows in heaven, how can that be? We have not planted, we've not harvested, and you are saying there's going to be that much. This was the background to this story. But to confirm that whatever God has said, whatever God has promised, he is well able to fulfill it. I need to let you know this morning that if God has said anything to you, it might not be a prophecy from the altar here. It might be something that you are reading in scripture and the Holy Spirit made a strong impression as to this is you. God is speaking to you. This promise is yours and you hold on to it. No matter how impossible it appears in your human reasoning, please believe it. God would expect you to believe him. Amen. Where we read this morning, the Bible says there were four lepers. They were in Israel, lepers were kept away in the settlement, far away from human, where people were living. These ones were dying of hunger. The same famine that is all over the place. And this morning, they got up and said, if we remain in this place, we will die. If we go back to the city where we are coming from, there's famine there, we will die. But ahead of us, the Syrian camp is there. If we go and meet them, there are two chances. They could spare our lives or kill us. 50% chances of life. This morning, I want to tell you that God is not expecting you to look back from where you are coming from. There's no life where you are coming from. Your past should be kept behind you. It's your past. There is no life there. If you wake up every morning and you are dwelling on the mistakes you made in the past, the Lord is asking me to tell you this morning, you are not prepared for the place where there is life. If you dwell on your present, where you are right now, this is all that life has for me. If you look at your life that way, you are not prepared. You are still not in the place where there is life. Yes, God is saying to you this morning, I have a promise for you. I remember the scripture that says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future. God has a promise. Through the mouth of Elisha, God had said, tomorrow, there's going to be surplusity. These lepers did not hear that message. They were not there. But the same God who made that statement had to do what he knew how to do to confirm his word. And so when these guys got up that morning and they decided, behind us is death. Here we are, death. But only in the future, we seem to have 50% chance of life. It's possible for somebody to say, The glass is half empty. From the fact that it's half empty, somebody can conclude there's no water in the glass. Some other person can say, but there is some, at least there is something. It was possible for these four to say, the future is, even though we are saying there's 50% chance, we don't know what will happen. Let's just stay here and die. But they never did. They decided, even though the chances of life is only 50% in the future, we are going to step ahead to the future. That tells me that that took faith. I want to let you know this morning that every step that God expects his children to take is a step of faith. And it is only by faith we can please God. The scripture says, for without faith, no one can please him. Amen? So, these lepers choose to go forward. And in their going forward, they came to the Syrian camp and found it deserted. All the soldiers and the army have fled, leaving everything they had, they brought behind. The scripture says, they went into one camp, they ate, they drank, they carried silver, gold, and clothing, and went back and hid them. They came back again, entered another camp. I'm sure they were full by now. After eating, you know. So they took some silver and gold and clothing more and went and hid them. It was after these two trips of, you know, looting. It dawned on them. Today is a day of good news. But keeping it to only four of us is not right. Amen. David said in scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know any of us here who can say, I have tasted of the Lord. There should be somebody here who is able to say, I know that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, me. I know that the Lord is good. Amen? Jesus, in John chapter 6, told his hearers, they were telling him, what sign do you show us? Moses gave our fathers manna in the wilderness. Jesus said, it was not Moses that gave your fathers those manna. It was my father who gave the manna. And in fact, that manna is not the true manna. It's not the true bread. The true bread that comes from heaven is he. He said, the true bread is he. He says, I am the bread of life. Except you eat me, you have no life in you. The Bible said from that day, some disciples left him. But he was saying about eating his flesh and drinking his blood and have real life. Hallelujah. Jesus is the true bread of life. The question to you this morning, have you eaten of this bread? Every one of us that knows that his or her sins are genuinely forgiven. If you ever tasted of what it means for your conscience to be clean, if I say clean, washed in the blood of Jesus, that you can close your eyes and say, God, you address God as Daddy. You know what it means to have tasted of Jesus. You've eaten of that bread, the true bread that is life. I can testify to you that I know so many who up till today are searching. They are in one religion or the other, but there is a hunger in their spirit. The fact that things are not, they don't have the answers to life. But anyone who has truly tasted of Jesus, eaten of him, can say, there's a songwriter who says, I was thirsty. I didn't know what I was thirsty for. I was hungry. I didn't know what I was hungry for until I met Jesus. My hunger was satisfied. My thirst was quenched. Every human being was born in sin, and therefore there is that emptiness, that hollow that is there where Jesus has not taken his place. Until Jesus takes his proper place in the throne of our lives, there's always a hunger. Can't be filled by money. Can't be filled by women. Can't be filled by power. Can't be filled by position. Can't be filled by nothing. When Jesus takes his proper place, there's a peace that you will not exchange for anything. So here we are. The Bible also went for that to say that the righteousness of God, that we believers are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, that he wears on us a robe of righteousness. So what these guys, when they got to the Syrian camp, what they went to really get? Drinks, food, and clothing. We, you and I today, spiritually have found them in Christ. We have found real life, bread in Christ. We have found real drink. I can assure you, every human being who goes, man, I love drinking. And so choose to drink alcohol, you understand, to find satisfaction. He will soon discover that he has just messed up himself. Get drunk one night, have hangover the next morning, and when he wakes up from his stupor, he's as empty as it was yesterday. Anyone who chose that for God to accept me, my good works have to outweigh my bad works. Righteousness of religion, born out of works. He will soon find that there will never be a day on earth that his conscience will excuse him and say, now you have sufficient good works that qualify you to enter into his presence. It is only the righteousness that has come by faith that Jesus has made available to everyone who comes to him by faith. And here, by the grace of God, here you are, here I am. We have tasted, we have drunk, we have this righteous robe on us. The leper says, what we are doing is not right. What are you doing? These empty seats. These empty seats bear witness that what we are doing is not right. They said, We have to go and tell the king's household. We have eaten and are satisfied. If it is just about us only. Listen. I believe in living the Christian life. But I see that as one face of the coin. The second part of it is, somebody asks you, why are you living like this? You should be able to tell him, come and see. Come and see. The proclamation of the gospel, the testimony of you and I about what we have seen God do, what he has done for us, what we have tasted, what we have drank in him, we owe our generation that testimony. There is no reason. The unchurched, thank God for our missions to Africa. But we have mission field around us here. Our neighbors that would have never gone to church. Our co-workers that have never gone to church. I invited a friend to this place one day, and I found that for all of his life, he has never been to a church service like this. It made me know there is something that we are receiving here that we are keeping to ourselves. The leper says, today is the day of good news. They declare that day to be their day of good news. Therefore, my question is, when will you say it's your day of good news? When do you think it's sufficient to tell your friend who Jesus met a woman who was looking for real life from a husband? The woman had married 5 men and was with a 6th man. She was still empty. When Jesus met her, Jesus said, what you are looking for is not in men. It's in me. And in John 4, after that encounter, the Bible says, the woman left her water pot, ran to the city. Come and see a man who has told me all that I've ever done. That woman discovered after meeting Jesus, I have a message for my people. What I've been looking for, I thought it's in marriage. It's not in marriage. It's in my reconciliation with my Creator. I just found him. That woman went to the city and came back bringing the people. There was another woman, a sinner. Israel will call her. They brought her to Jesus. They said, we caught this woman in the very act. The law says we should stone her. Jesus, what do you say? She was caught in adultery. John chapter 8. Jesus said, any one of you who has no sin, let him be the first person to cast a stone. Yes, sir. My question is, after all of those people left and Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more, do you think, I was asking myself, do you think for the rest of that woman's life, she will not tell somebody? She will not tell somebody that I met a man whom it was my meeting with him. That's why I'm still alive today. Do you think that woman will live her days and not tell somebody? There was another man in scripture. In Luke chapter 8. Also in Mark chapter 5. The Bible calls him the demoniac. The man that was bound by demons. And they tried to chain him. He would break the chains. He was living in the tomb. And here he was. Jesus got to the city. And cast out the demons in him. The man became well in his right mind. Amen. The man told Jesus, let me go with you. Jesus told him, no. go back to your family, go back to your people, and tell them what God has done for you. That was one prayer I saw that a new convert prayed that God refused to answer. When I say refused to answer, everyone, Jesus had told them, come, follow me. You know, he told some people, follow me. But this man said, Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus said, no. Go back and tell your people what God has done for you. The Bible says he went and started broadcasting all over the place. Brothers and sisters, the leper says, this day is a day of good news. When will you think it's your own day of good news? Amen? You know, I gave you an exam at the beginning of this. I realized that there is only man's highest purpose on earth, number one question. Man's highest purpose on earth. What is it? What is it? Let's hear your answer. Anybody? To know God. To know God. That's the answer to that one. To know God. To know God. Man's highest purpose on earth is to know God. If you don't know God, you will not serve him. The reason why God dealt with Egypt, Pharaoh and Egypt, was they didn't know him. He wanted to make himself known. He is invisible. He's invisible. The God we serve is invisible. Amen? He is invisible. But yet he is very real. Therefore, it takes only those who know him to also make him known to others. That's why, after you are sure you know him, the truth is you really, a responsibility is laid upon you to make him known. That's why it will not be right if we keep quiet. Number two, I was thinking, what's the greatest thing the Lord has done for me Sunday? What, you know when you need them to pray the things you ask for at different stages of life? Huh? When I look back now, I have become a senior citizen. Amen? Even though I don't look it. In my mind's eye, the day I was praying for God, God direct me, which the wife you have prepared for me, Lord, reveal her. Praying for which my life partner. It's like yesterday. My children look at us and they say, we are old school. I laugh. Not too long ago, it was raising children, you know, little kids running all over the place. Problem was, you know, how to keep them under control. We have left that stage. At a later point, they became teenagers that were rebellious, that if you say right, they say left. The challenges of how to go through all those stages, we've gone through it. Today, when I look back, I find that the greatest thing that I can say God has done for me, he has met my needs. He's met my needs, but that's not the greatest. I went to a four-year college that time. I got a degree. And they said, and the degree, they said, character, they never affected my character one day. It was just put some documents here, pour it down there, and they say, you have passed. But as to character, they didn't have anything to do with it. I found that the only thing that I can say God did for me that I know above everything else is to have forgiven my sins. He forgave my iniquities that were many. And the freedom that that has given me has made me a normal human being. Before now, I was abnormal. Before that experience, I was abnormal. Time will fail me to tell you my story. But of all of life, that is the greatest that I couldn't get from a government, I couldn't get from my employer, I couldn't get from training in the university, I couldn't get from anywhere. He forgave my sins. He set me free. What was master over me, he made me a master over it. And finally, what's the one thing that gives you joy above everything else in life? What's the one thing that gives you joy above everything else in life? Today, I realize, thank God for family. It's not family. It's not family. When I see somebody who is a sinner, you know, when I say a sinner, what you and I will say, you know, some people that, and at the entrance of God's word, this person that is, the world would have written him off hopeless. Everybody in the family writes him off hopeless. But this person responds to the gospel of, I mean, the good news of Jesus Christ. And his heart is transformed. This same person who was that bad is turned around to become a saint. My brothers and my sisters, I rejoice. Thompson tells me the power of God is still real today. He is still in the business of he is the only hope of this world. When you make a mistake in life, in this part of the world, nobody is in your record. It's in your record for life. Only heaven can excuse you from such record. And he has done it for so many. He's the only one who you'll be able to come out publicly and say, yes, this is me. I was the one that was like that. But over these years now, look at what he has made of me. Are you getting the point? It will be glaring to the blind that you are a new creature. When I see that happen, brothers and sisters, it gives me joy. Nothing like it. No man can do it. If I had power to do it, I would do it for everybody. You understand? Bible says only his spirit can do it and cannot be controlled by anybody. Those are my answers to those three questions. But today, I'm challenging you. I would encourage you. Why don't you make today your day of good news? So that you recognize you are eating, you are drinking, you are clothed, you are rich. The promises of God make one rich. Do you know that? The Bible talks about what are the riches of Israel anyway? Amongst them is the fact that they have the promises. The promises of God, they form part of our wealth. Here you are, enjoying these blessings. And your neighbors are there. looking for life. And we have seats here that they can sit and hear and receive what you have also receiving. If you don't make this day your day of good news, you are not doing right.